So again, in this context of the National Indigenous Day of Prayer. In the reading from the Gospel of Mark that we just heard, we get two stories or parables about the kingdom of God. Now, the nature of the kingdom of God can be a little tricky to pin down. The parables in this reading are parabolic. One is about seed laid down by someone who doesn't really know what they're doing. The other about the growth of a mustard seed. So at first glance, their meaning isn't completely clear. Plus, we even get confirmation of that from the gospel writer when he says, Jesus did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. And then we don't get to hear what Jesus told the disciples in private. So let's think about those parables for a few moments. The first one talks about how the kingdom of God is like when seeds are planted, days go by, and for reasons unknown to the planter, the seeds just grow. If you're anything like me, even though we know what the process of growing from seed is, we don't really know why it works. We just know that it does. If we nurture the seeds, they grow. That's something we can be pretty sure of, unless, of course, we deliberately interrupt that natural process. Every year, of course, millions, if not billions, of people plant seeds in an expression of hope and trust. And just like when we water the seeds in our garden or lawn in hope, if you and I hold on to our hope and faith in the establishment and growth of the kingdom of God, it too can happen. But let me repeat something I just said. If you and I hold on to our hope and faith in the establishment of the kingdom of God, it can happen unless we deliberately interrupt the natural process. Something we hear over and over again from our indigenous friends is that the government and the church had tried to remake those at the residential schools, and indeed almost all indigenous people, in their own image. In church terms, they were trying to make the members of the kingdom of God all identical, clones of the church's own belief and attitudes. And even more precisely, they were trying to make the kingdom of God in their own image. You know, getting back to our gardens for a moment, when you buy a bag of grass seed, you usually get a mix of different seeds, each with different properties. Some grow faster, some grow slower, some grow taller, some are shorter, some grow greener. Some form blades that are narrow, some form blades that are broad. But when put together, they form a cohesive whole. And when the lawn is cut, they emerge as a beautiful tapestry. Of course, what happened at the Indian residential schools is that we tried to force these children in their own distinctness or distinctiveness into the exact same shape and into a white color. And the miracle of the growing process of the kingdom of God was disrupted. So this parable of the seeds reminds us that we can grow the kingdom of God without meddling. If you notice in that parable, the person who sows the seed, the sower, doesn't fool with the process or pull out some seeds because they don't like them or try to change the plants after they emerge. The sower just watches over them, nurtures them, lets them emerge and grow, the fruit of hope and trust. The second parable describes a mustard seed that is sowed and compares it to the kingdom of God. The mustard seed is declared to be the smallest seed, but when it grows, it's said to become the greatest of shrubs, offering shelter to birds so that they can make nests in its shade. The mustard plant stands out, if you know it at all, stands out as something completely different from usual plants. But from a small seed comes something that is mighty, as the parable says, the kingdom of God. So in a field located here on Prestone Drive, this parish, St. Helens, has a plan to sow a mustard seed. With faith, with hope, It will grow into a plant that will invite people from around the area to come to shelter beneath it, just as birds shelter under the plant in the parable. And will it be pretty? The mustard plant is, well, kind of ugly. And potentially, too, so the new ministry to new people might be ugly. Not the building, but the nature of the ministry itself. People of all backgrounds, beliefs, ages will come, some with problems, some broken or hurt. Upon close examination, it won't look very pretty or uniform. But yet, it can be beautiful as people come to take shelter, just like the birds in the parable come for shelter under the mustard plant. It will be a place where the kingdom of God can be grown, a place where there's less trouble, less struggle, more equality, more equity. Now I invite Audrey to continue with her teaching.
Ane, wachia. Good morning, everybody. I'm not sure whether it's Father's Day today or not, but I'd like to wish Happy Father's Day to all the dads and men who helped guide a child or a youth or made a difference in someone's life. My dad's ancestry was Scottish and Cree, and I was born around 3 hours before Father's Day. So in effect, I was his Father's Day present, but I'm sure he would have preferred a tie. I am honored to share a few words with you today and to remind you we are all indigenous to Mother Earth, but our family stories will all differ. I have many stories to share, but only a very short time, so I'll just take a few minutes to tell you about it, a very wonderful prayer. You can look it up on the internet if you want to read it in full. But it's the great prayer of gratitude or thanksgiving of the Haudenosaunee peoples. Done properly with drumming and feasting, it takes about 2 to 3 days to say. So this is the real Reader's Digest version. It starts with giving thanks to Mother Earth and all living things, such as the swimmers, all the plants and insects and animals, included the two-winged, the four, and other-legged, as well as the sun, the moon, and the stars. In the prayer, thanks is also given for the two-legged humans. But interestingly enough, there is no status difference between them and all the others. They are all gifts of creation. An elder once pointed out to me, though, that removing even one group would interfere or hurt with another. For example, if all those pesky insects and mosquitoes were gone, the birds would die. If the sun was gone, Earth would die. The only creature that you can actually physically take out and not interrupt the process of creation on Earth are humans. And that is, the elder emphasized, because our role is to be carers and to give thanks to the Creator for all the others. It is interesting, too, that in our own biblical stories of creation and our current environmental goals, it also directs us to be careful stewards of life on Mother Earth. Heavy burden now that we have lots to deal with. And also by now, most if not all of you are very familiar with Canada's history of past injustice that has been documented in many places, including the Truth and Reconciliation Report, as well as the report on missing and murdered Indigenous women and children. While much remains to be done, we are glad that as a society, we are moving in the right direction on this. We are moving from wrong thinking to right thinking, and all that will help with making a better life in God's creation and in Canada, and especially in our diocese and our church. Our leadership recognizes Indigenous practices such as smudging and drumming as a form of sacred prayer. And as a sign of respect, we also give an acknowledgement to the traditional peoples of the land upon which our church is located. And while things have improved in many ways, I just would highlight one issue that is still shocking. And that is, interestingly enough, despite all you've heard about residential school, there are actually more Indigenous kids in care today than in all the years of residential schools. This is a lingering intergenerational legacy that is improving, but still needs to be acknowledged and addressed. As my friend Cindy Blackstock said, if we can raise a generation of First Nation kids who never have to recover from their childhood, and a generation of non-Indigenous kids who never have to say they're sorry, then we have made a major step in co-creating a society that our ancestors dreamed of and that our great-grandchildren will be proud of. And I'm proud to say that a lot of work is moving in this area, but it's a journey. And we have to keep moving up the mountain and keep on doing the path. Because even if you're not part of the problem, you can be part of the solution by learning more and how to help in that regard. Meanwhile, we are so blessed that our Creator continues to refresh our earth with rain and sunshine, and we can learn more about the teachings of forgiveness and reconciliation from the heartberries now in season. Many of you know heartberries by a different name, but in Indigenous language, they're called heartberries. And they're used as the center of many teachings because they emphasize the need for connection and communication with each other and with all their runners that go between plants. So even though every plant is a distinct family, the runners connect them each to another. And the berries remind us that we have relationships to maintain in our families, our communities, and our need for reconciliation with each other, and we can do that by pruning away judgments and other differences. Finally, I would like to end my little talk with this quote by Senator Murray Sinclair, who said, "The Truth and Reconciliation Report is like a path to climb a mountain. As we continue to climb, we see fresh perspectives, learn more, and maybe even go to a powwow or two to celebrate. So for today, we need to celebrate our past efforts and continue to learn more by eating some heartberries, which will be available with coffee after church. Or if you wish, there's a flyer about going to a powwow or two from the list at the back. Chimagwich."